1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The new Democratic presidential nominee is nearly official.
Vice President Kamala Harris has secured commitments from enough delegates to become the new presumptive nominee for the Democrats, according to a tabulation by ABC News. At least 2,000 delegates have voiced support. But nothing is firm until delegates have their nominating roll call vote, which is still planned to be held virtually ahead of the Chicago convention in August.
ABC's Brittany Shepard, Harris campaign in Milwaukee today. Campaigning in Ohio, Trump running mate J.D. Vance called President Biden a liar and the worst U.S. president, then called Vice President Harris a million times worse.
If you want to lead this country, you should feel grateful for it. You should feel a sense of gratitude. And I never hear that gratitude come through when I listen to Kamala Harris.
President Biden exiting the race leaves former President Trump as the oldest presidential nominee in U.S. history. This is ABC News. Another country where bullfighting's part of the heritage has banned it.
Further reducing the short list of nations where the centuries-old tradition is still legal, Colombia's president has signed a bill that bans bullfights. President Gustavo Petro signed it in front of hundreds of animal rights activists during a ceremony Monday in Bogota's bullring. The ban was approved by Colombia's Congress in May after months of heated debates. All bullfights are banned by 2027. Bullfighting aficionados argue it's part of cultural heritage, and they say they'll challenge it in court. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The brick two-car garage in Niagara Falls was no match for the CSX locomotive that ran off the end of its track in a rail yard and flattened it. Homeowner Dean Harris's wife was at home at the time.
Maybe her car being in the garage stopped the train from coming further. Hopefully that was the reason. And she didn't get hurt, luckily.
Harris said it happened before, back in the 90s, when his wife's grandparents owned the place. Richard Cantu, ABC.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? You have those little motors that go in there. Those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does your bird feeder freeze? Does your bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that
I
as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it.
Yeah,
I want it
back.
Todd.
In the winter, the birds use this little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
That's what we can do, Johnny. We can start a new mafia. You're the Italian. I could act.
You're the accountant.
I could
You're
act.
The whole thing.
I'd like to do more than accounting, but
no, yeah. I know, but you know what I mean. Well, that's just the
okay.
But I say the accountant.
Todd
it's
would
like,
be
that
like,
sounds like a good name.
Jim, you could run the east side, okay?
Yeah, that's right. I'll take the east side.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitler joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we talk about repurposing churches. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. It's going to be muggy, too, with a high of 78 this afternoon. Thunderstorms will end tonight. Gradual clearing after midnight, 62 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, cooler and less humid with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back in Green Bay on the home court, where I welcome host of the podcast Mob and Mafia News, Robert Dennis, and author Linda Cruz joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
We got a lot of rain across the state of Wisconsin in the overnight hours, but you let me know. Talk text line is open and waiting for you. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report, and that talk text line is 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You say you didn't pick up any rain? Well, that's okay. Go ahead and let me know how the county fair wrapped up for you. Or maybe the winter wheat harvest is something you want to tell me about. Whatever it is, that's the way to reach out to us. 877-301-FARM. Weather-wise, it looks like we've got an on-again, off-again chance of rain starting as soon as this afternoon. Kind of depends where you are. La Crosse, you look like you're going to get a little fog this morning, but then sunshine. Highs around 82 degrees. Madison area, also looking for sunshine. Probably around 80 degrees today. And along the lakeshore, beautiful. You should see sunshine with temperatures around 80 degrees. Now, after that, in the overnight hours, things start to change. We've got a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms sometime during the morning hours tomorrow. We're going to talk about weather with Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. We also got the latest update from Wisconsin's Ag Export Council. That's been 2 years in the works, thanks in part to funding from the state of Wisconsin. Senator Joan Baldwin, chair of the Senate Agriculture Committee, going to give us a quick update on that and a couple other items that you need to keep an eye on. That's just one of the items on the way.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a quick thought about a word you may have heard recently, shrinkflation. Shrinkflation is when companies give us less of something but charge us the same or even more. Cottonelle and Charmin toilet paper, Dawn Ultra dish soap, Crest toothpaste, Gain detergent, Hershey's Kisses, Reese's peanut butter cups, you are not hallucinating. There really are fewer Fritos in that bag because now it has 9.25 ounces instead of 9.75 ounces in it. Now, some U.S. politicians are talking about reining in these companies. In France, companies that shrinkflate food over there, they have to say so on their packages. You know, I'd love to see that over here too, just so I know what I'm paying for and I know when I'm paying less. If you want to help me and the millions of other Work Money members hold these companies accountable, join us. It's free. You can sign up at workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Matinaire on Air.
Don Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Coupe League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's coupes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Coupe Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matinaire on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says.
Avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Your phone calls as well. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Well, the Dow Jones Industrial Average on a Tuesday morning starting off in positive territory, but our commodities are not. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're catching up this morning with John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Latest crop progress report, even Wisconsin saw some improvement in the quality of our crops. I've got to believe that happened in the I states, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana. We'll find out what John has to say about that. We're also checking in with the Wisconsin FFA Foundation. Yesterday, they had a nice little golf outing just outside of Madison, and they say the fundraising efforts for 2024 are well underway. And let's keep the emphasis on agriculture education for a moment. I've told you before, and I'll say it again. If you're an agriculture educator in Wisconsin involved as an FFA advisor, that's a 12-month contract, which means even during the summer months, our agriculture educators are involved in planning curriculum, working with students, and having hands-on experience with different summer projects like county fairs. Mary Hendrick can tell you all about it. She is an agriculture instructor at Denmark High School in northeast Wisconsin, and she is also the current new president of the Wisconsin Association of Agriculture Educators. I had a chance to visit with her and find out a little bit more about some of the undertakings she brings to the classroom and how it not only benefits her kids, but the community.
I have been in Denmark since 2010, so this I just finished my 14th year. I actually started out at the middle school and have basically built up the program. Now I'm full-time at the high school, and I've been there since 2013. Mm-hmm. But I've changed a lot of our courses to science credit as well as dual credit with Fox Valley Technical College. Mm-hmm. So we're building up the program that way to make it more rigorous. Mm-hmm. And I'm also teaching the AP Environmental Science class as well to add more rigor into our classes. And since being hired, we've added a 30 by 60 greenhouse, then also an ag lab area, which we have 6 hydroponics units growing, and have a lot of collaboration, I'll say, built with our technical college system, which hasn't been done in the past. So it was a lot of building up, but our numbers are good, and we're looking at adding new classes and potential staffing in the near future.
Are you handling all that by yourself?
We have one other teacher, Mr. Nowak, and he teaches at the middle school and then at the high school as well.
Okay. So. All right. And alumni and your helpers, do you have a infrastructure group that assists some?
We actually have the largest lifetime alumni membership with over 600 members. So Denmark's a very strong and proud community that way and very supportive, and like nothing I could do wouldn't be without them and their backing behind me. So
you mentioned building rigor in the program. Help people understand why that has become so critical in the environment that you're dealing with. Let's face it, you're competing for students to a certain extent, making sure that you're giving them tools they can take and kind of in an advanced way once they graduate. Tell me about that component of rigor and why it's important.
Well, we're trying to build not only college-ready students, but career-ready students as well. So the rigor piece is just being able to problem solve and think on their own without just being given the information. So we're really just building skills that they can use no matter what field they go in. So yes, we are preparing for college-bound students because they can take credits with them, but it's a lot of our students just go into a two-year or right into the workforce, which is, you know, just that building that those skills for them is good.
Now, tell me about your classroom. Everybody's going to say, oh, well, they must be farm kids. Well, and I give them, Denmark is a rural community, but give me a little sense of the interest, what interest those students have, where you're seeing them ask you questions about the future.
They're looking at, fields, not necessarily in agriculture, but some are in agriculture. We have a huge plant-based natural beauties growers that we connect with, but they're also looking at what they can, how they can transfer their skills. So we're always teaching transferable skills. My students come to me because they know it's a hands-on learning, and I give them the problem solving. So when I first taught my hydroponics class, I was learning with them because it was a new course, but it is about problem solving. Why isn't this growing? I don't know why it's growing. Let's figure it out. So it's taking those steps back and just seeing them want to explore and like, hey, can we try this? Can I try growing this? Can I try building this to see where it's going to lead me? They're taking their learning one step above, I'll say, a traditional classroom.
Yeah.
And asking me, is it okay if we try this? And yes, it is okay. Because you learn from maybe mistakes, but you also learn and grow. And like, maybe you had a path, an idea, but you veered off of it because you found something else that, mm-hmm. you know, in your process.
How much interaction do they have with the community, the non-farming community? You mentioned the greenhouse and things like that. That is part of the real world experience too.
So in my horticulture class, every year we do a landscaping project. Mm. So I always ask for individuals, and like we just did the American Legion, we did our Denmark newspaper, we do their landscaping. So it's start to finish. We go out on the site, we do the interview with our site and ask them what type of plants, what they want. They take the measurements, they do everything. And then they basically bid to the customer. So they each create their own designs, have a price list with all the plants, and then they have to sell it. And basically then the customer chooses what it is. So it's not just, yes, that's agriculture related with landscaping, but it's also just the sales skills too, because they're selling their designs to our customers.
All right. Let's talk about being the next president of the Wisconsin Association of Ag Educators. Explain for non-farm folk what this group is all about. There's a lot of camaraderie within agriculture education circles in Wisconsin, outside of Wisconsin. Help them understand this.
It's a strong foundation of agriculture educators where we know each other. I think that's one benefit of being an ag teacher in Wisconsin. We know each other. We know who teaches where. And then that helps because if you're a younger teacher, you feel comfortable talking to your other teachers from other schools, because when you're a typical ag teacher, you're probably one in your department and one in your school, so you don't really have that to bounce ideas off. But we feel very comfortable with each other to reach out for resources, chaperoning if we need extra chaperones, and we're always willing to help each other out no matter what. If it's just a, hey, I need to vent about something, or if it's, hey, I need this resource, help me out.
How are you feeling about the numbers of teachers in Wisconsin? I know there's always vacancies. We're always trying to pinch fill different spots and that kind of thing. How do you folks as the core group look at that, deal with that, areas you'd like to see improvement?
We are always lacking teachers going into the field. So we're always pushing our students with the Teach Ag program and Tag to Teach Ag. But we're having a lot of experience-based teachers come in, which they need just a different level of support. They have the knowledge. They just need the support on how do you manage my classroom. But being welcoming is the key. From my interaction with those experience-based teachers, they just want to know how they fit in. And so we do I really try to make sure they understand that they fit in with us. They're not the traditional route of going to college to be an ag teacher, but they have a wealth of information that we can also use and rely on.
Now, as we said, take over the reins, so to speak, as president of the association, anything in particular that we should know you're working on, that's on the agenda, areas where you see emphasis coming up in 2025?
We are really working with our Wisconsin Technical College system this year, really making sure we have a streamlined plan in place, because they have another level of resources and information that they can help us do our jobs better. So we are really going to build that relationship and make sure that next year in our PDC that we can actually utilize them and help our teachers. You know, if I don't have the resource, I can rely on my local technical college to help me get that resource or provide that learning experience for my students.
I know Fox Valley Tech, but what's been the reaction of the technical colleges across the Wisconsin with this kind of a plan going forward?
They're the ones who came to us and asked. So they are like, we are here. Tell us what we can do. We want to be a part of your week of professional development. What can we do? How can we help? Because they realize that local districts can only do so much, and they're just another level of help for us. And that's what's so nice, to have that, to lean on them, and hopefully we can continue to build that strong relationship.
Well, and again, back to that phrase, rigor just helps there.
It is, because students are now graduating. I mean, they're sophomores in college by the time they graduate high school because of that technical college system, and being able to connect with them and have those offerings. They wouldn't have to let us do that, but they do because they realize it helps them out as well. It gets, you know, I could take my students to Fox Valley Tech for experiences that I might not do if I didn't have that dual credit and that relationship with those instructors.
What's your experience, Mary, with that kind of rigor and those kinds of shared experiences, shared educational platforms? job placement is incredibly high. I always try to stress that to parents that have young people that are still trying to figure it out. My goodness, we can't provide people fast enough.
If we go with along like technical college routes, we're finding out that a person graduating with a two-year technical degree is actually making more than a student graduating from a four-year degree. So just keeping those options open and making sure students realize, you know what, maybe start here at a technical college, or and then maybe I can always transfer to a four-year if I want to, because, you know, the sky's the limit. And you know what, there's a lot of just good programs local, and it's a lot less expensive as well.
Mary Handrich, she's the teacher at Denmark High School, agriculture educator, FFA advisor, 12 months out of the year dedicated to those kids. And like she said, working cooperatively with the folks at the Fox Valley Technical College. I'm hearing that story a lot from ag teachers all across the state this summer, that's for sure. All right, time now to pivot just a little bit and catch up with our friend Stumach Ag Meteorologist. Time for a quick look at what's happening as far as our weather is concerned. Stu, it sounds like it's going to be a little bit of a hazy day today. Huh?
Yeah, kind of hazy, some clouds and some rain out there too, Pam. I mean, a cool front's dropped on into about the northern third of Wisconsin this morning, the northern Door Peninsula, almost back to the Twin Cities, back on into Minnesota. There's some rain ahead of the boundary, showers scattering from Door County, the Door Peninsula, right down into the northern Fox Valley through central Wisconsin, just northwest of Madison this morning. Some activity out in central Minnesota as well. What we're expecting is that showers and maybe some thunderstorms develop as that cold front just slowly drops into Wisconsin. I do have a few rain reports already from the nighttime. Mauston at 19 hundredths of an inch, Eau Claire at only 7 hundredths of an inch, and I did see that Casco and Kewaunee County had 37 hundredths of an inch. So the rain has been falling here and there, scattered, not a large area that's going to flood us all out, but some pop-up shower and thunderstorm activity expected today. And the chance lasts overnight or even into early Wednesday. But that cool front should be well south of Wisconsin into the day Wednesday. So we begin to dry out, cooling off just a few degrees. But the warmth returns and dry weather returns already later Wednesday into Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Sunny, warmer, back up into the 80s as we head toward the end of the week. I'll have our forecast details in just a bit.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events, plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Grammy Award-winning Brothers Osborne, live in concert. State Fair Main Stage, presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Sunday, August 4th, with special guest Sarah Evans. Get tickets now at WIStateFair.com. Their self-titled album, Brothers Osborne, is available everywhere. Brothers Osborne, live in concert, Wisconsin State Fair, presented by U.S. Cellular.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal. I got 9/10 of an inch of rain up in the Green Bay area from Stan this morning, too, to add in, Stu, on those rainfall reports.
All right. And Eau Claire just came with an update at 34 hundredths over what I thought was a little lighter. So it's popping here and there. Let's look at it today and talk about haziness, kind of partly sunny, leaning toward more clouds, and some scattered showers or maybe a thunderstorm this morning in the south and east part of the state, popping up again later in the day. Temps still today in the lower 80s with the southwest winds about 5 to 10. Overnight, more clouds, scattered showers, could be some storms. I think we're talking rain amounts, you know, pushing in the quarter to half inch range. There may be additional heavier amounts, of course, in some small areas. Nighttime lows in the low 60s with winds becoming northwest at 5. A slight rain chance, especially south and east early tomorrow. And otherwise, a partly sunny day, a lot more comfortable, only in the upper 70s. with the northeast winds about 5, and then we start to warm it up and dry it out. Thursday, sunny skies, more likely around and in the low 80s with east winds at 5, more sunshine, low 80s pushing up even higher already Friday, Pam. Not much of a breeze, just warm weather returning for later in the week.
All right, we'll take it. Good enough. Thanks, Stu Stumacher, ag meteorologist, keeping you up to speed on what's happening with our Wisconsin weather. Don't forget the talk text line is open now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know what you got in that rain gauge.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. President Joe Biden withdrew July 21st as the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. What's next in the process and how does that process work? It's important to note that the political parties make their own nomination rules, and although the situation is rare, bylaws for both parties provide for candidates who can't or choose not to remain a nominee. Once Biden has released his delegates, they are no longer bound to vote for him in the first round. Biden has endorsed Harris, and she may get the majority of the 1,976 delegates she needs out of Biden's 3,896. Delegates in four states have already pledged support for Harris. A virtual roll call nomination, originally planned to nominate Biden before Ohio's August 9th ballot deadline, is expected in the next few days. It's possible that Harris will be nominated at that virtual meeting, locking out potential rivals before the convention. Democratic Party leadership appears to be falling in line, with over 150 members of Congress and a majority of Democratic U.S. senators endorsing Harris. If the virtual meeting doesn't give Harris a majority on the first ballot, it still could go to the convention, which begins August 19th. An open convention with no presumptive nominee has not occurred since 1968. We have articles, explainers, and the DNC rules at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project.
Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Tell me who that's good for. Yeah. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. I have no proof of this. I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. I think he wants to feel the power.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The new Democratic presidential nominee is nearly official.
Vice President Kamala Harris has secured commitments from enough delegates to become the new presumptive nominee for the Democrats, according to a tabulation by ABC News. At least 2,000 delegates have voiced support. But nothing is firm until delegates have their nominating roll call vote, which is still planned to be held virtually ahead of the Chicago convention in August.
ABC's Brittany Shepard, Harris campaigning in Milwaukee today. Campaigning in Ohio, Trump running mate J.D. Vance called President Biden a liar and the worst U.S. president, then called Vice President Harris a million times worse.
If you want to lead this country, you should feel grateful for it. You should feel a sense of gratitude. And I never hear that gratitude come through when I listen to Kamala Harris.
President Biden exiting the race leaves former President Trump as the oldest presidential nominee in U.S. history. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
The Democratic Party of Wisconsin enthusiastically endorsed Kamala Harris on Monday, now that she's the frontrunner for the Democratic ticket. Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, said Harris is the candidate best positioned to defeat Donald Trump.
Vice President Harris is a powerhouse debater and communicator, and we've seen that all the way through her political career. She's able to bring a spotlight to the essential issues and draw the essential contrast that will ensure that we can win this election.
Wickler described Biden's resignation as a reset that gives Democrats the upper hand in the upcoming election. Wisconsin was ranked first in the nation for hourly earnings growth in February, March, and May, and second in the nation in April. Just last month, Wisconsin reached record high employment numbers. Governor Tony Evers said Monday that Wisconsinites are clearly working hard as the economy continues to show positive growth. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers without Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers training camp continues with Jordan Love as only a spectator as the team and his agents work out a new contract for the quarterback. Can a deal be done in the next few days? GM Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah, I think so. But again, you never know. I mean, we're working really hard to get that done. These are big deals. It takes time. They're not as easy as some people may think.
Head coach Matt LaFleur on when did he learn he'd be without Love at practice.
When I was told yesterday. is what it is.
In the meantime, backup Sean Clifford is running the offense.
Step in there, get in with the ones, just be able to work with Josh Myers and Elton and the whole starting lineup, so that way they know that they can count on me when and if the time would ever come.
Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Cubs last night 3-1. Chicago's Ian Happ with a home run. The Brewers held to just 5 hits. They'll play again tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Tuesday for a very special Devil's Advocates. We got Kamala Harris in Milwaukee, the presumptive Democratic nominee. Devil's Advocates. This is history.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible today. It's going to be muggy, too, with a high of 78 this afternoon. Thunderstorms will end tonight. Gradual clearing after midnight, 62 tomorrow. Partly cloudy, cooler and less humid with a high of 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is a 1,200-mile footpath started in the 1950s and now running through 30 Wisconsin counties. The Ice Age Trails PR director, Melissa Pyrick, says one group of hikers describes it best.
They started in St. Croix Falls, so they kind of did this North Woods, which is very rural and rustic. And they said they couldn't believe once you get down into the southern part of the state, especially Dane County, all of a sudden it turns into prairies and it's just beautiful.
The trail continues south to Janesville, then back to the northeast and up to Sturgeon Bay. It is also one of just 11 in the country designated as a National Scenic Trail. Learn more about it in your area at iceagetrail.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
M.
impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project on Project 2025.
Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Learned about just in terms of the position.
Dow Jones Industrial Average, the S&P, everything looking pretty healthy on a Tuesday morning, except our commodities. You know, the harvest has started for some Wisconsin farmers. Our winter wheat, our Wisconsin potatoes, we've got peas, we've got green beans, we've got sweet corn, all headed towards the processing facilities. But like I said, commodity prices not looking real healthy on a Tuesday. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is going to be joining us. Give us a little perspective on what the market's talking about this morning. Glad you're along with us. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report on this, the 23rd day of July. What can I tell you? Let's see, a couple happy birthdays to start you off. Actor Woody Harrelson, 63 years young today. Harry Potter, Daniel Radcliffe, he turns 35. On this day, back in 1984, Vanessa Williams, who was the first African-American Miss America, actually resigned. She resigned, if you remember, because Penthouse Magazine published unauthorized nude photos of her. That happened on this day back in 1984. And now you know. Like I mentioned, the harvest has begun for some Wisconsin farmers. That means long days in the field. And when you get done, chances are you're leaving that farm equipment sit in the field so you can start it up the next day. But boy, that poses a risk. Thieves are out there. Stephanie Hoff has some details on what you need to keep in mind to make sure that farm equipment stays where you put it.
It's unfortunate, but farm equipment thieves are out there. Theft typically picks up during the harvest season, the time when you really can't afford to sit idle. Rural Mutual insurance agent Craig Camholz from Greene County says you can take steps now to prevent equipment thieves during your busy season.
It seems like we just need to do our part as farming community to take care of our stuff, to make sure that we don't give someone an opportunity to disrupt our farming ability by keeping things secure. That'll prevent some of that.
I'm thinking like downtime, cost, frustration, the time you've got to spend on the phone. Like, this is more consuming for somebody than just losing a piece of equipment.
It absolutely is. These pieces of equipment are crucial to their ability to farm. You know, I often compare it to the average citizen. If you lost your cell phone and you knew you couldn't get it back for 2 to 3 weeks because they didn't have it in stock or something, or you just couldn't get one, how would that disrupt your life? It's very similar to something as simple as losing a cell phone. You could still operate. You could still function. It wouldn't be as easy. Clearly isn't going to be what you had. And moving forward, it just makes things a little more tough and stressful.
As you said, it's our responsibility to keep our things safe and prevent theft on the farm this harvest season. Lights on the farm, is that going to prevent people from coming up on your property?
Absolutely. Anytime you can help secure what you have, it's always a good idea to just light up the farm. You know, have lights on, be as secure as possible. make it so people aren't willing to come and take that chance of getting caught. Park, and when you park your equipment next to the buildings, you have as many lights as possible. Put cameras up. Put signs up that you have cameras. They're all preventative, you know, and lock those tractors. Make sure that if someone is there, it's a little more challenging and more likely to be caught if they can't get in it. And you certainly don't want that to drive away on you. Park away from the road as much as you can. Like I said, it's basically don't make it convenient for someone to do that. And, you know, there are ways to put trackers and stuff in equipment to help locate them if they are stolen. So those are some things. It's just that are kind of important to keep those pieces of equipment secure.
You know, it may help keep their equipment secure, but does it also give them a sense of security and put them at ease?
Luckily, my clients have kind of heeded the warning, and they're pretty good about keeping it away from, you know, away from roads. You know, as we get closer to the full harvest season for corn and soybeans, a lot of farmers, you know, used to park their equipment right next to the road because it's convenient. Tomorrow, at the end of the day, they park the tractor, combine, whatever, next to the road. So the next day they can hop off the, you know, be dropped off right there next to the road, hop in the machinery and go. You know, more and more of them are pulling the equipment out farther into the field where they have to drive out to it to get to it. It's all about trying not to be quite as visible as well and having those pieces of equipment back tucked back away where people aren't going to be tempted. You don't want any unwelcome guests trying to take advantage of you.
Let's say worst-case scenario, Craig, something does happen. If you walk out to the field and your tractor's missing, what do you do?
Well, first of all, call the police department or sheriff's department, get them involved, and then I would suggest you contact your insurance agent and get them on board so that they can start moving forward. Farming has to continue. That's the other piece with this. It's not just you lost a tractor. You have plans. You have hired help that's coming to help you with things that day. You have crops that have to get done. There's a lot of stuff that is affected by something like that that's not easily corrected in a hurry. And to continue farming, you have to find another tractor somewhere so that you can operate that following day. So it's a really big deal.
What kind of paperwork do you need to have on hand, you know, like proof of ownership?
It's really good that the farmers have great records, and they do keep track of what tractors they buy. They typically keep the invoices that they have, that they purchase things. Our farmers are very smart and very savvy, and they have great ways of keeping records, and that is important and key for us to help them out with recovering whatever they have.
Craig Kamholz's advice is to just not make it easy for thieves to take advantage of you. Craig is a Rural Mutual insurance agent out of Greene County. Ahead of the harvest, consider lights, cameras, even trackers to keep yourself protected. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Hey, Wisconsin, this year's statewide science festival is featuring agriculture, and we need your help. The Science Festival is a free event that reaches all corners of the state and showcases technology, engineering, and more to 40,000 people of all ages. The festival is looking for individuals and organizations to host or volunteer at these events. This year's festival will be held in more than 50 counties from October 14th through the 20th. Visit WisconsinScienceFest.org to sign up to help today.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
The heat we've picked up over the past couple of days has really helped our corn, our soybeans, really all of our crops in Wisconsin. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows 40% of our corn across the state has started to silk. That's 5 days ahead of last year. 47% of our soybeans are blooming. That's a little bit behind last year, but definitely an increase in confidence of the crop. Right now, 60% of our soybeans call good to excellent. That's a 4 percentage point increase in 1 week's time. I alluded to it earlier. Right now, 31% of our winter wheat harvest has already been completed. They're digging potatoes in the central sands. 9% of our spuds already harvested, and they're calling that crop 89% good to excellent. That's up 2 percentage points since last week. Now, numbers in overnight electronic trade are not real friendly. We'll talk more about that with John Heinberg in a moment. December corn right now is down 2 at 413. November soybeans down 2 1/4, currently at 1066. September new crop wheat, that's down a nickel at 543 a bushel. Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained 1¼ cents, 192.5. 40-pound black cheese was up 1 cent, 187.5. While AA butter stood still, 307.5. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up 3 at 2017 a hundredweight. September Class 3 milk, that's down 2 right now at 2080 a hundredweight. A lot of our Wisconsin farmers, a lot of our Wisconsin dairy processors trying to work through the detail that was released when USDA sent out their modernization of federal milk marketing orders suggestions. It's not an easy process. Hasn't been an easy process. Erica Medke, who is with EverAg out of Chicago, says they've been looking at some of the proposals from USDA and says, you know, it's an end-sum game. There's only so much money that can go around. Now it's just a matter of what producers think about the proposal.
There were proposals. There was USDA commissioned price studies, and USDA didn't go the full extent of what the economics would say. And in this case, I would say they had to make a political decision and did increase them, but not as much as what all of the studies had to say. So USDA has a really tough job because, again, they're setting the rules of play. They have multiple stakeholders. They're trying to make everybody at least partially happy. At the end of the day, it is the dairy producers who vote yes or no. So they're the ones who have the most here.
Erica Medke, she's one of the staff members with EverAg out of Chicago. She says there's only so much money either the dairy producer or the dairy processor are going to get it. And remember, dairy producers, you should have an opportunity to vote on those federal milk marketing order reforms before the end of this calendar year. Probably now a good time to start talking with your dairy processor and other dairy leaders. All right, up next, we're talking with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Find out what the market has to say this morning.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
How do you keep your water for your bird feeder? Yeah, those little motors that go in there. Those little fans.
I didn't put those in yet.
Does a bird feeder freeze? Does a bird bath freeze?
Jim, do you remember giving him that as a gift?
You know
you
what?
You gave him that
I
as a gift.
I did. I gave you that. You've never used it. I want it back.
In the winter, the birds use this little skating rink.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, we're live from the EAA. We'll be joined by the Director of EAA Communications, Dick Napinski.
And the Director of the EAA Museum, Chris Henry, will stop by along with Brittany Merlot.
Join us.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 9.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number, 800-334-9779. And, John, you want to start with something a lot of people are talking about, the sudden changeover as far as dynamics in the Democratic Party. You think that's been moving the markets, huh?
I do think it was a major factor in yesterday's strength, kind of across all the markets. Obviously, you know, we talk a lot about grains, and we had a good day in the grain markets yesterday. You know, but the election does play a part in this, at least in terms of traders' minds. You know, a couple weeks ago on Monday, we had a very difficult day, a lot of selling pressure, and that was after kind of the Trump assassination attempt. You know, the market really was kind of pricing in the momentum of that in terms of him possibly getting into office. You know, there is some concern regarding the tariffs and things of that nature in terms of that trade protectionism policy that he keeps talking about, and the markets are, you know, really not a big fan of that. So we've been kind of maybe think pricing that in. Now, we had to change. You know, Vice President Harris now on the ticket for the Democratic Party. You know, again, we'll see how it comes out in the long run, but at least gives them some stability, and maybe they can start building some momentum on the Democrat side. I think the market was looking at that yesterday, and I think that was part of the short covering rally that we saw. You know, that may have been the initial kickoff, but then there's some other things going. That market in, you know, rally in grains yesterday was led by that soybean market. We're finally seeing some demand kick into that soybean market. We had some soybean meal sales last week, and three out of the last four sessions, a good-sized soybean sale, too, at the end of the week last week. So prices may have gotten cheap enough there, or at least some people are stepping in and buying this market, as well as just some of those Brazilian prices are on the climb as some of the supplies aren't moving around as well as the market may be anticipating. You know, we said this before. It's not so much about the supply right now. We need to see some demand and buying into that marketplace because that's really what can turn this market around.
And it has been nice to hear some of those sales that have been made. So let's talk a little bit more about what's happening with the sales side of things. We're cheap enough now. The catch is, are we going to be able to hang on to these rallies?
You know, the worst part about this right now, you know, we still have a lot of supply here for both corn and soybeans. We're also hitting that key window where producers have old crop supplies in the bin. They need to make a decision whether they're going to push it out. Obviously, with the way crops look and the crop conditions, I think most are counting on a fairly decent harvest, you know, and even with the areas of weakness, that supplies are going to have to move. We typically see that in, you know, August into September. That could be the limiting factor here. All of a sudden, we get a nice little price bump. Producer says, shoot, I just picked up 30 cents a bushel on beans yesterday. Let's get some moving here, and that could quickly limit these rallies.
Right, right. Let's talk about condition report. Anything that you noted? I said at the outset that Wisconsin's probably not where traders' eyes are going, but Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, anything?
Yeah, that was one of the things that came out yesterday. You know, we got crop conditions. Corn went down 1%, still strong at 67% good to excellent. Soybeans up 1% to 68% good to excellent. But the big thing I noticed on that thing is look at those I states or those core production states, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Iowa, all were improved by 1%, 2% for corn, 2%, 3% for soybeans. So now you're seeing some of the best areas improve their crop conditions. So that, again, should just relate to a possibly a very good harvest this fall. As long as the weather continues, that's the biggest thing we got to watch. A little talk of heat coming in, drying out a little bit first part of August. I think that was also a little bit of a factor in that soybean market. As everybody says, beans are made in August.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, our guest this morning. You can find him online, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number is 800-334-9779. We've got a big report coming out on Friday, Stu, cattle on feed. You and I both just kind of waiting for the bubble to burst.
Yeah, well, actually, Cal and Phoebe report came out this past Friday, and it was still staying on the neutral to friendly side. You know, cattle numbers were 101% of last year, so we did see a little bit of a cattle increase. But when you break into the numbers, that report, the USDA always rounds. So the actual number is 100.5, and if you did the math, that was only 70,000 more head than last year, which is less than one day's kill. So realistic, cattle numbers stayed tight, placements were low. Market reacted to that yesterday with a fairly good upside day. Now we'll see if we get some continued follow through as those retail prices have softened, and we'll see what it does with the cash market.
Anything else in particular, John, that you think people should keep their eyes on? I agree with you. Weather rallies, you better grab them while you get them.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for me right now for producers, even though you still may not like the prices, any opportunity to get some more coverage in here. I still think we got one more move to the downside in both corn and soybeans in terms of as the bushels start moving, or we get ready for the bushels to start moving. Just be diligent, watch your basis levels, take advantage of them if you get some opportunities.
Beautiful. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the update. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Stu Muck, right. John Heidenberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. Again, keeping an eye on the trade for you and the influence of what's going on with politics that traders may also be paying attention to. You can find him, again, TotalFarmMarketing.com, 800-334-9779. Thanks again to all you rainfall reporters for chiming in. You can continue to do that. Our talk text line open for anything you're interested in, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You're going to be in the trusty hands of Charity Seebecker and John and Stephanie Hoff for the next couple of days. I'm headed out on vacation. Enjoy your Tuesday.
This is the Midwest.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
At Uline, the prevailing opinion is, if you don't live it, you don't believe it. The people at Uline believe in hard work, and they live it by being there 24/7 to answer your call, having 41,000 items in stock, and offering same-day shipping from 12 locations across North America. Business owners, sellers, buyers, shippers, and packers believe it. Uline is the hard-working, dependable source for your shipping and industrial supplies. Visit uline.com.
On or off the farm, we have to navigate transitions. That's next on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Life is filled with transitions and the stresses that go along with them. Rural mental health specialist Monica McConkie.
When you're talking about any kind of transition, you know, helping your kids leave home and go to college for the first time, jobs, active duty to civilian lifestyle, farming to not farming, the more communication we have around it and the more of a plan we can make, the better off we are, because then we are looking at the transition and walking through it from an objective, rational standpoint versus the stress, the emotion, the fear, those feelings being big.
McConkie says it helps to know if a transition is coming. That way you can start addressing it from a mental health standpoint early on.
I do this with people who are having to sell their cows due to either their own health or financial issues. And they don't want to, of course, but we talk about it before it happens. If I can get to them then, if I know about it then, and we just do some prepping. And we even talk about what's it going to be like to walk through the empty barn. What's it going to be like? What are you going to do with your time when for years from this time to this time you are milking?
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us at 10:33. Hour number two, we talk about repurposing churches. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Few Wisconsin events bring 600,000 people together from 80 different countries, but it happens every summer in Oshkosh.
Oshkosh has become synonymous with the world of flight and with EAA.
Dick Napinski's worked with EAA Air Venture for more than 30 years and knows its history. Do you? Where did EAA start? Wausau, La Crosse, or Milwaukee? The answer coming up. The fly-in is spread across 1,600 acres with more than 10,000 airplanes. It brings a big boost to the economy, too.
It's $170 million of economic impact and more than $110 million of direct spending.
So where did EAA start? Milwaukee in 1953 called the Wisconsin Air Pageant with 21 planes. All moved to Oshkosh in 1970, a high-flying slice of Wisconsin. It's happening July 22nd to the 28th. I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston, Vice President Kamala Harris.